Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Are you serious?
Hello, part two of our best of the year here for How to Kill an Hour. Our best of 2017 is what you were listening to. If you've missed the first half, then I suggest you go back and listen to part one of our best bits of 2017. Anyway, this is How to Kill an Hour. My name is Marcus Bronzy. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Right now, you are killing some time with us. And as I've mentioned, it's our best of the year. So in episode 176, we had Otis from The Gadget Show. He popped over on the show and spoke to us about a number of things. The first part of his conversation with us, the first clip, should I say, is actually at the end of the last episode. So this continues on from this. This is the part of episode 176 where Otis tells us all about his world record breaking attempt.
Another world record I've got, which is one of the more stupid ones, was they said, let's take a regular road bike, so a push bike, bicycle, and let's put some electro-ducted fans onto it. So these are big fans, which have big batteries on them, and they're like little jet engines. We strapped six of these to a drop handle racing bike, and the plan was to go as fast as possible down a drag strip, a quarter mile drag strip. And we got in touch with Guinness, and they said, okay, no one's attempted a world record like this before, but it can't be just arbitrary. You can't just go 2 miles an hour and say, yeah, it's a world record. So they set the lower limit at 62 miles an hour. If I broke that, then they would recognize it as an official world record.
How do they decide stuff like that, though? Do you know how they kind of just decided on 62 mile an hour?
I don't. I would imagine that they look at any other records that are similar.
Right, okay.
And so there has to be a level of effort, possibly risk, that go into making the
decision. I did wonder that, because like, surely if I just said pizza a million times in a row, like just pizza, 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 there must be a world record for that, you know? I can do that. Yeah.
But they would, I guess they would have to recognize it.
Yeah. Somebody like Nick, you'd have to be running at 60 miles an hour.
Exactly.
Delivering a pizza while saying at the same time. So the lower level was 62 miles an hour.
Yeah.
How did you get to break that record?
Bro, it was horrible. I had motorbike gear on.
All right.
So you're not really as agile wearing that gear as you should be on a push bike. Although I didn't have to pedal, I literally just had to sit on the bike. Now this drag strip is quite sticky. So we found that at 30 miles an hour, the handlebars were just rattling. And that I was losing any streamline aspect. And the fear was go any more over 30 miles an hour and I'd end up stacking it, having a crash.
Must have been scary.
And it was scary. And I was less than halfway in terms of the speed I required. So at about 32 miles an hour, I said, we can't do this anymore. But I had noticed that when we came off the sticky track onto the runoff, the wobbling stopped. So even though there was a fair bit of debris from where cars crash and stuff like that on the runoff, we figured it was best to attempt it there. And I managed like a 59 and a 61. And they said, can we do it one more time? And I swear to you, I had nothing left in me. I really, really, really didn't want to, because the closer I got to 62, even on the runoff, the more it was wobbling. So with the last run, I literally just tried to focus everything into my arms to try and keep them, not lock them out, but just to try and manage the vibrations as much as possible.
You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. I pray to every god available that the measuring equipment worked. If it didn't work, I'm going to jail because I'm going to kill somebody. Yes! 72 miles per hour. I'm a record breaker.
And again, another example of the relief. Do you know what I mean? As well as the, you know, the feelings of achievement as well. So I've got that plaque up on the wall in my my downstairs bathroom. But yeah, mad achievements over the years, man. It's been a crazy ride.
Impressive, right? And also very scary. So that was when Otis from The Gadget Show joined us. There's been a brand new season of The Gadget Show in 2017 on Channel 5. I believe if you go to channel5.com, you can watch it back. Great season. And they got into some great techie stuff, man. We were also joined by Colin Furs, a YouTuber, on episode 192. Now, Colin is a YouTuber that I'd say is very different to what might pop into your mind when the phrase YouTuber comes up. He makes amazing creations. And sometimes when you're making amazing creations, you might rub the wrong people up the wrong way. He explains more here. So you make loads of stuff that blows up and you shoot stuff and there's fire coming out of it. You must have like had a little slap on the wrist from the police at some point because, you know, it's fun stuff.
Yeah, but I've had the old 5-0 round. Back in 2010, I think it was, I put a flamethrower on the back of a moped, which is a fantastic idea. You know, it was pretty cool. But yeah, police didn't like that. But I think it was mainly because the photo got in all the papers, and the photo was me on a public road. I think if I'd have done it down a country lane or in my back garden, you know, they may have looked at it, but may have thought, he's all right, he's in his back garden, but because I think it was burning up the road with it. So, you know, lessons learnt and all. But I know the Stamford police, they watch my videos. Right. I went to pick up an Indian one night, and there was a load of them all waiting for a takeaway. And they just, all it was questions. Oh, what about that thing? That's really cool. What are you doing now? What are you doing next?
Right.
And I forget.
You should have said flamethrower on a motorbike.
Yeah.
And see what they say.
Yeah, very convenient. Yeah, yeah. All the things I listed were not weapon related at
all. Yeah, definitely. Among other things on the same episode, he also discussed his favourite ever build as well. This is going to be a bit of a hard question for you, I reckon.
Yeah.
What do you think is your proudest build to date?
It's tricky. I get asked always like, wait, what's your favourite one?
Yeah.
And there's a few different ones that have done different things for me, if you know what I mean. Like, so I'll look at certain builds, like the world's fastest mobility scooter was like the one that really cracked the media. It was like in every newspaper, it got me on like a few little TV shows and stuff like that. So it brought a lot of extra audience to me in a different way. And it was one of my favourite world records. So I like that for that. But then you kind of look at like the jet bicycle, which is like my most viewed video. And you think, oh, that's pretty cool. That was really dangerous. It's really noisy. It was like, you know, completely mashed together from junk and bits and bobs. But then there's things like the bunker. That was like a project which was kind of like, we used to build underground dens when we was kids. I used to live next door to a quarry. We used to like dig a hole and then you make a little pallet box sort of thing and then kind of cover it over with mud. So it's basically the adult version of something I used to do as a kid. And it was just so huge. And it's, you know, I go down there, you know, pretty much every day now anyway, because my mate uses it for band practice and stuff. So that's like one of those really awesome projects, which is, that's cool. How do you top that sort of thing? So that's got, you know, I like that for the reason the hover bike is like, was just an absolutely barking mad idea, which I had no idea if it was going to work or not. But luckily enough, gambling with Ford's money on that one. I said to them, remember when they rang up, said, oh, Colin, we want you to make a really crazy vehicle. And I was like, I've got this idea. We'll strap these two things together, which in theory should lift my whole body weight up. Let's do that and see if it flies, you know. But if it doesn't, you spent a load of money on some hover, you know, on some propellers and stuff. It might not work, and you know, but they went along with it. So, and it was good. It paid off though, you know, big video.
Yeah, and it did actually work.
It did. It got off the ground. It was hard to control, but it did. It did, you know, function.
Yeah.
It did hover, and it was a bike, so it did what it says on the tin. And you know, from somebody making something in their garage, I don't think I did too bad, really.
He also managed to relate his creative process to one of my favourite types of fast food. You can build hover bikes, tornadoes, firework tornadoes, souped up dodgems. You've got no real professional training. You've taught yourself. I actually spoke to somebody who, by chance,
yeah,
was working with you on some branded content. We won't mention him.
Okay.
And I was like,
you could do. I've not fell out with anybody.
No. I mean, I mentioned. I won't do it. But I mentioned your work in process. I was just like, he makes some cool stuff. How do you know what he's going to come out with? And they mentioned a napkin arriving with some drawing on it.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking, what's your actual process of putting stuff together? Because I thought he's going to have rulers, this, that, da, 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 da.
Yeah, you know? I mean, a lot of people ask for like the blue. Oh, you got the blueprints for that. Yeah. And I'm like,
where are the schematics?
There's nothing. There's no CAD. Some people go, oh, yeah, do you work it all out in CAD first? I'm like, no, computers don't come anywhere near the process whatsoever, because it would take me as long to draw it on the computer that it would be actually to make the thing. So most of the time, I might do a couple of little scribbles on a pad. Like if I need to work out, like if there's like a lever system or something like that, how's it all going to work? I did this these arm-mounted rocket launchers. So like you flick a switch and these little tubes like pop out and you fire like fireworks out of them. So to work out how that was going to work, I just did a little rough drawing and I got some like lollipop sticks and just pushed some nails through them just to think, yeah, that'll work. And it's literally just simple things like that. So I can't, you know, if somebody asks for the blueprints, take a photo of some lollipop stick. Hey, yeah, mate, that's what I did. Good luck.
I can't believe. You literally just begin. In your mind, you just go.
Yeah, you just have to begin. I mean, it's the same with anything. Like take the dodgem like I did. You've got this. You know that everything has to fit within the shell of the dodgem and within the tire. So the first thing is right. Take the tire off. Let's make the base of the tire, because that's the absolute widest. Nothing can go out of that. So you kind of do that. You sit that on the floor. And then you're right, I need a back wheels, I need some front wheels. And you kind of place them roughly where you want. And then you just like clamp them with the clamps. I think, right, so that's going to sit there. The front steering system, I looked at it and thought, that looks terrible. But I can't dwell on it at the moment because I need to work out where other bits are.
Yeah.
And you just start stuff. And you might have to go back a couple of, you might advance further on and think, well, actually, there's more room to do this than I thought there was, because that's managed to go further back and whatever, and then you can adjust it afterwards. But if you stand there staring at it or trying to measure it and work it out, sometimes it takes just as long, and it's easier to see problems when there's something physically kind of assembled in front of you. You can look at things slightly differently. You can think, I was going to do it like this, but maybe we won't bother with that now. We'll just shove that right up there and then we can put it on the other side or something like that. So it's a fluid thing.
Yeah, and when I watch a video, obviously your videos are only a few minutes long at a time.
Mm.
So it makes me feel like you put it together in a few minutes. How long do your builds take?
They take a while. I mean, some people moan like, oh, I've got to wait a week for the next part. And I'm like, yeah, but what you've just seen may have took me 2 weeks to make. And it's not just what you're seeing made as well, because obviously I'm filming it and editing it and making the video as well. So that takes time. So it's just such a laborious process that it does take a long time. You might get lucky and make something which you can slap together in a day.
Mm.
But some of the, the bigger ones, I mean, like the bunker was like 2 months to do that from start to finish. Yeah. The hover bike, I think, was about a month and a half, 2 months, just trying to make it. Because the first version of it didn't even get off the ground. It was too heavy.
Mm.
So I have to keep chopping bits off it because it just wouldn't even lift off. So because you can't kind of go on belt and braces, because you kind of think, right, we need to make something that's stable, sturdy, and if it was to flip or anything or crash onto the ground, it'd be fine. All that got chopped off. So yeah. Couldn't have any of that on it. It had to go because it wouldn't get off the floor.
I'm not going to lie, watching that video, you look like you're a slip away from just like falling to some sort of evil villain's death at the end of a film, like a Die Hard film or something like that.
I suppose I tend to do things on a knife edge. Yeah. You are on the edge of potential disaster.
Maybe you're here still.
But yeah, we're doing all right. Yeah, made jobs. It here, didn't I? Yeah, the cab ride here, to be fair, has made me feel sicker than anything I've ever built.
Yeah, so you're not a good passenger.
Not a good passenger. No, they said, oh, we'll get a cab here. And I didn't think anything of it, really. I didn't really, you know how long a journey it was. And like halfway through the journey, like, Karina is looking at me, are you all right? And I'm like, yep, I'm all right. Just keep going.
What, is it the speed bumps or is it just being in the back of a car? Because, you know, London, there's loads of speed bumps.
It's a bit of both. I think it's as well, I'm a control freak. Yeah. I've got this saying, I like to hold the chips. I used to go to this chip shop when I was younger with this old girl, Kylie, lovely girl. Mm. And we bought this massive bag of chips. And even if she bought them, I still wanted to hold them. So, because I felt like I had more control. And it's not like I wouldn't share them. They're her chips.
Yeah.
You can have them, yeah. We'd share them sort of thing. But I always had to hold the chips.
Okay. So. And do you think that's maybe the beginnings of what put you in this direction in life, holding the chips?
Who knows? Maybe it was. You've got to go out and do stuff, haven't you?
Yeah.
So, you know, so holding the chips is all part of that. So
how about now? Do you still hold the chips?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Right.
I'm a shepherd. I'm not a sheep. That's the other saying, eh? There's some people in life just follow the way. They're sheep.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I'm a shepherd.
The shepherd, that is Colin Furze. Now, a word that's been thrown around a lot in 2017, and I'm going to be honest, prior years as well, when discussing new types of technology, is smart. So we've had smart TVs. You get smartphones. We've got smart watches. We found something that's smart that you wouldn't think could be smart in episode 194. Would I be right in saying that as well as discussing different ways to kill time, we also talk about new bits of tech out there?
Of course we do.
A lot of the time, do we talk about new sexual activity helping products?
Without a doubt.
Okay, we've had a drone with a dildo on it.
Yeah.
We've had friggin' mechanical dicks.
Yeah.
Bionic penises.
We've had porn for the blind.
We've had porn for the blind. Come here. Yeah, porn for the blind. Come on. We've had sexual health. You know, Pornhub need to win a Nobel Peace Prize out here. Because by keeping people happy and relaxed,
there's less
trouble out there, you know. Trust me. You know, yeah, I mean, knocking one out has got to put everyone in a good mood. I don't know anyone that's angry after a good seeing two. Yeah? So anyway, we've had smart devices in panties as well for men and women.
Yeah.
I think we found the smartest device yet.
Okay.
It's the smart condom.
Mm.
Okay.
Now,
British condoms, it has got something called the Icon.
Uh-huh.
I like it. Because obviously it's got one eye in it, yeah? Just like we have, yeah? And the condom. Technically, it's not a condom, but I'm going to let him off. It's a cock ring, but it's sensor-laden when it sits over the base of your appendage while you do your thing.
Yeah.
And then after you know, like a Fitbit.
Yeah.
After you have done the business,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little bit of, how's your father?
Yeah.
You know, all that bit. Sex, like other people like to call it. Afterwards, you compare the ring with your Icon app, I presume in your iPhone via Bluetooth, and check out a variety of information and statistics. Would you like to know the statistics you can get?
Yeah.
Tell me what you've been doing with your statistic.
Yeah.
You can find out how many calories you burnt, speed of thrust.
Yeah.
Total number of thrusts.
Yeah.
Frequency of sessions, total duration of sessions, average velocity of thrust, and girth measurement. The data is collected and it's completely anonymous if you want it to be.
Yeah.
And Icon's worth £60 and available for pre-order. I love this.
I don't.
We're measuring everything. I'm wearing a step counter right now.
Yeah.
I'm walking down the street counting how many meters I've walked. Now I want to know how much I'm thrusting.
Yeah, I don't like this, man. You know me, I'm always a cynic. I don't like this.
You don't want to know your velocity.
Yeah. Do you know what it is? I don't want other people to know. And sometimes, when the information's out there, is collated all in one place. I mean, look at Korea. Korea are hacking these days. Imagine if this information gets into the wrong hands, the wrong women, the wrong female organizations.
Ooh.
That's a lot of relationships going down the pan.
But what if it went the other way? What if your statistics were premiership level? Yeah. What if you had 9 out of 10 statistics for everything and word got out by accident?
Yeah, the women will be out your window like Dawn of the Dead. It's trying to smash them with the air. You have to beat them off.
If they know that you've got that primo velocity, your total number of thrusts. I mean, I suppose this could lead to negotiations. Hey, babe, you know, I heard that you kind of got a slow speed of thrust. Hey, but my frequency of sessions and my total number of thrusts is high, though. So when you average that out, I don't know.
The women are going to be in the playground, like with trading cards at their workplace. Like, hey, have you seen this guy? He's got this level. He's level 9.
Oh, he's whack, man. His total duration of sessions is well below average.
I'll raise you, Stephen. His girth is 7. Yeah, I can see that there's going to be a lot of banter with the women in the workplace.
Do you think that this would be something that, because we are measuring everything, like people want to measure everything from their normal gym activities to like fitness trackers, like, you know, step count and stuff like that. Do you think this is something that would realistically catch on? I'm sorry about the noise. I'm just taking off my hoodie because I'm getting hot under the collar.
I believe that we're just entering into that world of competition, entering into the realm of privacy. And everything is out there now. Everything.
You think nothing's sacred when it comes to measuring?
Nothing is sacred when it comes to measuring. In fact, we're going to even use the private measurements to our own advice. I can see these scores and these stats actually featuring on Pimbers in people's Tinder profiles to kind of help them bag the latest lady.
Here's what would work. Here you go, I got my hoodie off. Here's what would work. If I got like vouchers or something like that, if I was to perform well, that might make me feel a bit better about things. So I'm like, so say for example, if my vouchers length of duration is, I don't know, Nando's or something, if my duration of session was good, then I earn something. Yeah. So I've kind of got another reason to put in extra work.
A half chicken. Could you put in a session the night before?
For a half chicken? Oh, fuck yeah. 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 Hell yes.
Here's a thing. And that's what I was going to say. This is where I feel like this information could be used for very sinister reasons. What if your app is hacked by your girlfriend and she sees that between the last time you had a session with her, you've lost some unnecessary calories? Where you been?
Ooh, so I've been picking up thrust information. And that sort of thrust doesn't happen at football.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Football? No. Okay. Yeah, it could be hacked. And you know what? Also, what you have to remember is men are fucked up, and if we're going to have a version of this technology, there's going to be a woman version.
Yeah.
God knows how they're going to get the sort of information with a device. I presume it would be something unsavory as well. And then you're going to have guys going, hey, man. Yeah, she's loose, man. I mean, I'm a girl 7.
Yeah.
She's loose, man. So, yeah, it could go both ways.
Yeah, man. When you find out that you're a girl 7, but your woman was penetrated by a man with a girl 8.
Oh, what do you do?
Oh.
Or it's something that's just off the chart.
Yeah.
So you've had a girl 15? I thought you were the one. I can't handle you.
Get out.
I can't handle you. I'm a girl 3.5 and you had a girl. That's 9.5.
That's crazy, man.
That's a lot of, and I feel like it takes the excitement out of sex. Yeah. I think one of the great unknowns is what's the pussy like? And it must be for women. What's the dick going to be like? Like, you don't know. You can see, like, With men and women, like men, you can see a bit of shape from boobies, from bum. If a man's wearing the right tracksuit bottoms, I know ladies can watch a dick print in grey tracksuit bottoms. We've seen all the memes. I know. So, really?
We want,
it's like the last secret thing. What's the pussy
there
like?
There is absolutely nothing left of the imagination now. Nothing. Nothing is left of the imagination.
Pussy's left of the imagination now.
Not even that now. Maybe well, the
smell. Not with this.
Maybe the smell.
Yeah, the smell. Smell, fragrant, you just don't know.
They're going to be apps to give you the smell if it's funky or not.
The pH. So it gave you a smell. Oh, okay. Yeah, see, no, you know what? This was a good idea at first, but now I'm thinking, let's leave a bit of a surprise. And I'm glad we left that there. There's an app that most people have on their phone. Yes, you are very likely to have this app on your phone. And if you don't, at least one of your friends has got this app on their phone. And we found a secret part of it in episode 195. Now, I'm sorry, I've got to let you know about something that we all can't be involved in. I'm really sorry.
What's that?
That you guys might not have been aware I've been aware about it for about a year or so since it's been around. And I don't really usually believe in elitism, but Tinder have a secret special members only club. So when people ask if I'm on Tinder and I say no, but you know, I'm just not on the Tinder that you're on. So it's been around for a little while. It's called Tinder Select. And whilst that sounds like a new burger from KFC,
yeah,
get yourself a Tinder Select with 7 different flavors. Tinder Select is you have to be invited to by a core group of members.
Okay.
You have to usually be a celebrity like me, or a person that does really well on Tinder like me,
yeah.
or me, basically.
Yeah.
And while you may be invited, strict numbers apply. So sometimes, you know, if you do get invited and you're a little bit long on the click,
yeah.
you don't get accepted. So just thought I'd let you know about secret Tinder. How do you feel about this Tinder elitism out there, this secret level of Tinder?
This Tinder Select sounds like some sort of swingers club in Tinder.
Hey, you know, I don't want to gas the world, but I'm just saying, like, when you swipe, yeah, when Billy swipes, yeah, he sees one thing. When I swipe, my screen lights up. Hey. Okay, I'm not really a member of the secret Tinder. But so yeah, there's a secret Tinder.
So this secret Tinder, is that for the members of Tinder that are kind of like high ranking?
Motherfuckers, that's what it is.
The super Saiyans of Tinder.
Or, here's what I thought you were getting at. I thought you cracked it straight away. Or the developers of Tinder made this better version of Tinder.
Yeah.
And really, it's just to get them pussy.
Yeah. Mmm. So we get all the ugly folk.
So they created... So, because think about it. If you do... What's it called when you swipe away, Billy? When you keep swiping on Tinder? When you just go crazy? Swipe-a-thon. Swipe, swipe, swipe. What's it called? Oh, not you, but what's it called?
Nick said something about that, didn't he?
Kamikaze swipe or something.
I don't know.
Something, yeah. Because you never do that, Billy. But yeah, so if you were to just swipe away infinity,
yeah.
But all of the girls were like tens, all yeah. the guys were tens,
yeah.
You get hit back. You're getting hit back with some gold.
So who are the people in this group?
Apparently, it's like celebrities. Like,
oh,
so like actual. So apparently, seriously, like if you're like, I suppose how it would work technically, if this does actually exist, this yeah. is a bit like the Freemasons,
yeah,
Illuminati, You'd probably have like a official Facebook.
Yeah.
Because Tinder connects to your Facebook, right? To check you're not weird.
Yeah.
An official Facebook.
Can you get a blue tick on Tinder?
I suppose this would be blue tick Tinder, yeah, wouldn't it?
This is blue tick Tinder.
Can you get a blue tick on Tinder?
How would he know
How
that?
How would you know, Billy? Can you get a blue tick on Tinder? Scream it out, please.
You can. There was an article a few years ago. But like celebrities want to go on there. They verify him.
So celebrities go on there. Billy said if celebrities go on there, they verify them. So you didn't find out. You just read on online. You didn't see on the app because you're not. Yeah. You don't go on the app that much. yeah. So it's a level of elitism.
Okay.
I don't know how I feel about it because I'm sexy. Why the fuck aren't I on there? Why aren't we on this elite Tinder? I'm not salty at all, motherfuckers. Fuck your Tinder.
Tinder Select.
Tinder Select. Huh? How about you select your mum Tinder? Anyway, all right, cool. So yeah, do you think this will make people want to Tinder more though? Or do you think this make people want to up their Tinder levels? Like, do you think there's going to be more catfishing of photos, making them look sexier than they are and all that sort of stuff?
I think Tinder Select needs to happen because if these Tinder Select candidates are in with the regular Tinder, that's like window shopping. These people don't know that they can't get them. They got no chance in hell.
So you think this is saving people from false hope?
Yeah.
From the people that are like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's not the winning that counts. It's the taking part.
I mean, there's actually a level of kind of depression and kind of and sadness in people's lives prior to them sign up to Tinder. You don't want to exacerbate that by giving them something they can never have, like a hologram when they turn up on a date.
So this false hope.
They go to hug the person. It's Tupac hologram and they fall on the floor.
Alright then. Alright, well, Tinder Select,
yeah.
You know, hey, I'm gonna have to relinquish my membership from Tinder Select then. I'm just gonna go back to regular Tinder.
Yeah.
And give everyone hope. You get me? That's me, ever the man of the people, Marcus Bronzy, here on How to Kill an Hour. We were joined by the lovely Lucy Hedges in episode 197. She is a tech guru and also the tech editor of the Metro. She does TV for BBC Channel 4, where she travels loads and covers tech. She is someone that it's always a pleasure to catch up with. And we brought her down on the show and she told us all about her very special hookup with the richest company in the world. You're like, there's like a list for the iPhone, right?
There is.
Tell us about this list, please.
I'm still not sure I understand the list, but okay. Somehow I got on the list.
Yeah.
So I used to work at Stuff magazine for 7 years. I got made redundant about two, three years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Apple only really put people on the list that are in an editor kind of role. Because I remember when I left, I was the multimedia editor, and the reviews editor got made redundant as well. And then the iPhone came out and they didn't let anyone have the iPhone from Stuff magazine. I thought, oh, that's a bit cheeky. It's not only that you've got to be an editor, you've got to meet them. They've got to know you. You have to be on the Apple team in order to get a freebie. Otherwise, it's not happening. The fact that they didn't give it to the editor of the magazine at the time because they'd not met him. It's like volumes. It's just how they run their ship, you know?
You must have acquired a lot of friends, not new friends around that.
Yeah.
What annoys me about my friends, though, is, like, in fact, a couple of weeks ago, someone said, oh, have you got a spare iPad? Oh, yeah, you know, I've just got reams of iPads. Just, I kind of have, but, yeah. You know, but not for you.
You've got to watch UFC and Netflix at the same time.
Exactly. It's all about the multitasking.
So, hey, Lucy, I used to open the door for you. You got new iPhone?
Or, you know, have you got a pair of Beats headphones just lying around? Yeah, mate.
So let's break this down. You're on a list. When the new iPhone comes out,
mm-hmm.
You get it, right?
I do. I get it to test, obviously, first and foremost. That's the most important thing. Obviously, they want to give you the phone and play with it, but they give it to the publications that are going to get the news out there first, basically. So Metro is a good platform for that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And then depending, I know some journalists that get the phone taken back from them after a few months. So again, I don't fully understand the list.
Well, Apple snatch back.
Wow. Yeah, dude, they snatch back. Really? But the way it's been for me for the last few years, which is really cool, is I just exchange them in every year. So I'll be like, there's my old iPhone. Give me the new one. It's great. Wow.
So do you get to go over to like America and check out all of the iPhone?
Yeah. Well, I've only done that twice, and that's only in my capacity as tech editor at Metro. Yeah. At Stuff, there were a load of people that were in the queue before me to go on that trip. And it's a great trip, but it's really intense. You know, so the keynote's at, 10 a.m.? They get you up really early. I'm not a morning person. And you stand outside for about 2 hours because they want you to, you know, the camera crews are there. It's really cool.
Yeah.
All these fanboys waiting outside for the iPhone. I'm just like...
Yeah.
Can we just go in already? Can I sit down? And you fly in the day before, so your body is kind of all kinds of crazy. Your body doesn't know what time it is. And then you're live blogging, you're tweeting, you're doing whatever it is to get all this information out. And it's quite fast paced. Even though they talk really slowly up on stage about the new iPhone, you know, when you're trying to type and take photos and do all that, it's quite intense. You come out feeling really sweaty. And it's
That's literally a global event.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time. It's like it trends straight away.
Yeah, definitely. The fact that my friends watch the live stream, my friends don't watch any kind of techie live stream. They don't watch anything to do with CES. They don't read the news, that kind of thing. But when it comes to the Apple stream, on it.
Mm.
Yeah. What are you thinking about the next iPhone then?
This is going to be a good one because it's the 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't pay attention to any rumors because most of the time they're wrong. And then when the rumors that are, you know, a bit believable, it's kind of, oh, you know, an update to the screen, oh, the shape might change. It's not the most exciting thing, so I just like to wait and see what happens. But this year is going to be a real game changer. They have to do that because I think they're losing fans a little bit.
Yeah.
Samsung's coming up, so is LG. Like underdogs like OnePlus, you know, they're making really good smartphones. The fact that OnePlus just released a limited edition phone in sync with Colette, you know, the Colette boutique in Paris. 250 models only, they're going like that because people just want this phone. And it's like, where did you come from?
Yeah,
even Huawei. Even Huawei's creeping up the back there, making good phones.
Is that how you say it? I've been trying to work out how to say it.
Oh my God, yes.
So how do you spell it? Is it
H-U-A-W-E-I. So years ago, I thought it was Huawei because the whole thing was Huawei, yeah. Whatever. And I used to do tech talks at Gadget Show Live, and every now and again, when you're talking about products, the product manager or the PR people will come and watch, and you know, I'm going Huawei this, Huawei that, and after the session, the woman comes over and she says, "It's Huawei." And I was like, oh, God, okay, I'm sorry. And ever since then, I'm like, it is Huawei, people. Don't pronounce it wrong. The PR Huawei. Woman, the PR woman will kill you with her eyes.
So you think this iPhone is going to be a big one then? Yeah, you think it's going
to
be?
Yeah, I think so. I think they need to, I don't know, the home button that they've got at the minute, I'm not really a fan. I've heard that they're going to completely get rid of that and maybe make some kind of touchscreen fingerprint sensors in the actual screen itself. Mm-hmm. And at MWC, there were a few companies touting this kind of technology, so it's not unfeasible. Right. But who knows? I want something that is almost bezel-less, you know? I don't want to see any frame on the outside. I want it to be all screen.
Mm.
And it's clever enough to know when I'm holding it and when I want to actually input, you know?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Do you think we're up for another charger change, maybe? Everything in line.
Oh, God.
We've literally, on a previous episode, we were talking about how
USB-C.
USB-C's mm-hmm. kind of clever. Like, so with a Nintendo Switch, we just read today, you might not know about this or not.
Mm-hmm.
You can plug your Nintendo Switch into your MacBook Pro and charge either one off the other, depending on which one's
turned on. Oh, nice. I did not know that. Mm.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I think, no, Apple likes to be unique. They like to do things their own way.
That's a good way of saying it. That's a very good way of saying it.
Unique,
aka my journalist hat on.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you know, they don't. They like to lead the pack. That's how they've always been. They will not conform to what other companies are doing because that's them surrendering. They want to be the leader.
Yeah.
And whether people like it or not, like look what happened with the whole removal of the 3.5 headphone jack.
Yeah.
You know, people have moaned about it, but they've got on with it now, and people are buying wireless headphones and wireless headphones. And I keep getting emails about it. You know. One of the biggest trends of this year so far, wireless headphones.
Definitely. I mean, I'm the sort of guy that will complain, but at the same time, I will go and get the iPhone on the day of release, plug it into my MacBook Pro, and watch Apple TV while I'm doing it. So yeah, I feel like Apple's been very good at getting us in. Like, I feel like I'm part of the Apple family, the ecosystem.
Yeah.
I'm
into it.
I know. Although I'm waiting for the S8, the Samsung S8, because I think this is the first time that I might jump ship.
Really?
But then obviously it all depends on what the new iPhone says this year. But I don't know, I'm just a bit bored of iOS at the moment. It's not bad. It's not done anything wrong. I just think it's time for a change. I've had my iPhone for years, since like the 4.
Mm. Yeah.
The 4.
Crazy.
Years ago.
How difficult do you find it breaking that ecosystem? I mean, if you've got other Apple products at home and then you have to kind of it might kind of play on your OCD that this is one thing that just doesn't sit with the others.
I think the one thing I'll miss is when your photos kind of copy out mirror onto each device. But other than that, I use Pages and Numbers, but I'm not that bothered about my article being mirrored on my iPad or my Mac.
Right.
Mm. I'm not going to miss that. I'm not that embedded into the ecosystem. But for some people, that's a big deal, but not for me.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of change. I mean, I saw you tweet about this the other day, which was about the change of Alexa and Siri. There's kind of been like a clash going on and Amazon's trying to like sneak Alexa into the iPhone, right?
And you know that they've managed to find a loophole because they've obviously, you know, if you go straight to Apple and ask them, this is going to be a straight up hand in the face no, but they've managed to find a way to get their AI assistant to work with Siri, and it's just like, it's a bit of a two fingers to Apple,
and
who are dragging their heels a little bit in the virtual assistant world, in my opinion. Alexa is everywhere. You can have Alexa in your Hoover fridge or vacuum fridge, your pet feeder, everything. It's everywhere.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
I'm interested to see. Like, I want it to get to a point where Iron Man, you know, the way Iron Man talks to his devices. I want it to be in that level. I want to be like, "Hey, Miles, how are you doing today? I'm a little bit down. Oh, I'll tell you a joke." I want that kind of conversation. Yeah,
I don't know. I think that's a bit creepy for me.
Really?
Mm.
Where they know where, like your
personality
knows where you've been. Mm. So like, you might be trying to lie to your partner, like, "Where have you been? I just went for a run." That's a lie. You just went to McDonald's down the street.
Your GPS location says that you were here, and it's like, "Oh my god!" Yeah. Or you know, like some kind of how situation where it just goes a bit sentient and just decides to turn on you. You know, the robot uprising. Robot. You never know.
Yeah.
You know, this is all new. This is all new territory. Yeah. You've got people like Stephen Hawking saying you need to be careful with artificial intelligence because you could get to a point where it's more intelligent than you, and it will own you, and it will take over all your products. There's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of time. I feel like it's a matter of time. Someone's going to flip the switch
and
say, "You know what? We've got something that is unbelievably clever," and he's going to look at one bit of wire, which plugs into the wall for Ethernet or something like that, or he's going to give it the Wi-Fi code, and that's it.
Yeah.
AI is going to take us over.
It's exciting territory, I think, but scary, scary exciting.
Something else that's exciting, but not so much scary, are sex robots. And we spoke about those when Lucy came down as well.
It get really weird after researching and writing this this article. You know, it's about people who are willingly open to having sex with robots, sexual encounters, relationships.
Yeah.
There's a woman now in Paris, I believe. She's created her own 3D printed robot. It looks creepy as hell, but you know, this is the early doors here. She says she's not doing anything sexual with it, but she's in a relationship with it and she plans to marry it next year.
Wow.
And it's like, whoa, someone's had a bad love life, you know. But it's about,
what's the legalities around that? Can you actually marry a robot at this?
Well, there was this a conference at Goldsmiths University end of last year called Love, Sex and Robots. And it was all about, you know, the rules and regulations and how are we going to regulate this kind of behavior? Because it's, you know, it's a lot of it is to do with the sexualization of women. Yeah. It's not just, there are, you know, I've seen, you know, VR porn for females or, you know, female versions of sex robots and whatever. Yeah. But ultimately, it's all about the guy. Yeah. I think a lot of people have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. But at this stage, there's no rules. Because it's not there, the technology is not there. But what you're seeing at the moment, this is an article I wrote last year. So every Valentine's Day, I'm like, oh, no one's talking about love. Let's talk about sex and robots and vibrators.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's all about virtual reality porn. Yeah. But it's not just about the visuals. They can connect to fleshlights and all kinds of random sex toys. So whatever's happening on screen is in sync with what's happening down there.
Yeah.
And it's quite scary. You can get stuff for couples. So, you know, I'm at home, boyfriend's in America. We can like hook up on VR and like connect ourselves to things. It's creepy.
That's a bit. They kind of hinted at that in the film Demolition Man when they had the kind of the headsets and they were feeling everything they were kind of experiencing visually.
And I feel like we can move towards that, you know. I feel like I genuinely.
You hope we can move towards that.
I feel like it can happen, you know. I think it's going to get to a point where, because at any available opportunity, if we can do it the easy way, as in terms of we don't have to actually have physical contact, like that old school idea of going up to a girl or girl going up to a guy and going, hey, how you doing? Nah, fuck that. I can do Tinder. Get me, that sort of stuff. So
I just find this.
If you don't have to do that at all, you just have to make sure that your sex bot is plugged in. That's the only
thing. Make sure it's charged.
Make sure it's charged, obviously.
But don't you find it strange that you could actually be on a date with your partner and if you spill drink on her, she can malfunction?
Get the waterproof model, babe. Fine. You'll need the waterproof model. But you know, it's not just about the sex toys and the VR. Yeah. There are these group of guys in America that are making actual sex robots that look like kind of fleshy women, you know? It's amazing on one hand, but really creepy on the other. And you know, there's these sex trade shows and they're showing them off and just these real old guys carrying this chick and her legs are open and you can see the point of access and you're just like, I really feel ill. But it's going to help a lot of people with disabilities. It's going to help, like you say, people who are really introverted. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also quite dangerous. I think when I first tried VR porn, I remember thinking, holy crap, people are not going to leave the house.
Really?
Yeah.
That good?
And I watched it on a Gear VR. That's not even that great. You know, the graphics weren't that great.
Yeah.
Put it on an HTC Vive.
God.
But you know, this is the early stages. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, this is actually incredible for people who love porn, which is, I'd say, everyone.
Yeah.
Majority of the world. Yeah. You know, it's people aren't going to leave the house, I don't think. And you're already seeing things like that in Japan. They have sex dolls.
Yes.
And, you know.
We've heard about those, yeah.
You know. Populations down, they don't make children as much because they've got these sex dolls to keep them happy until they're ready to find a wife.
Yeah, like out there, like a lot of the stuff, and it's sweeping generalization, but a lot of the articles we found that have been like sex body, they are relationship inclined, aren't they? Like a lot of them are, this is designed to be like a wife, or they've got like their own like AI systems that are set up to speak to them like a other half. And that's a little bit sad.
The actual sex part is actual secondary to the actual relationship and companionship. Yeah.
We've got ones that, there was one that would eat with you. If you let it know you were eating, it was like a hologram that would eat with you. And that you're kind of like, oh. And then I suppose it's the other kind of like, sweaty, nasty person.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, if someone's got a sex favor, are they going to introduce you? Oh, this is, I don't know, Laura. Or are they going to keep her locked away until you leave the house and Laura comes out? I don't know.
Their sex bot is never clothed. Like.
Well, you know, it depends on what you're into. You might enjoy undressing the robot.
Is it cheating if you have a sex robot, though? If you have it in a relationship, you have a sex, like, at what point does it go from being, it's just a fleshlight, or it's just like, you know, a vibrator to, hang on, that's a whole person that you've got in your cupboard there. So when we have an argument and you go home in a rush, I don't think you're in a bad mood. You're going to go get over me, literally.
I think my main fear is this sex bot connecting with Alexa and locking the doors because she gets jealous.
There you go, the robot uprising has come in so many ways. But yeah, I think the moment you need to worry about cheating and things like that is when, like you say, when they're so artificially intelligent that they ask you how your day is and can actually interact with you and their skin or the plastic feels really flesh-like. And, you know, if you look to her from afar, you'd think that's an actual human. Oh, no, it's a robot.
Yeah.
Give it, I don't know, 5-10 years. They reckon by 2050, people will be marrying robots. Or they, the experts. the robot experts and the pervs.
I'll be marrying it too, yeah.
So that's what happens when somebody properly researches sex robots, and we have a slightly more adult conversation about them. But there was something that caused a few waves on social media, and it really is probably one of the most emotional topics in terms of responses from anyone here on the show ever. And Funk Butcher took his time to discuss the Bootymaster 3000 in episode 199. So Funk, can we talk about the Bootymaster?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's the 3000, please.
Yes, we can.
Let's just fuck is rubbing his thighs,
rubbing my thighs. You know, smiling. I've been here since what, about 4:30, and yeah. I've been waiting for this.
Yeah, been waiting to talk about our Bootymaster.
Bootymaster 3000,
and then we're gonna name the episode Bootymaster 3000.
Yeah.
But we're not gonna mention it until this point. In fact, we're gonna further tease it because Billy, have you finally found a price?
£624.
And how much?
France.
And how much would it cost to just fly blimey. Direct? Okay, now Billy's going to search that. Let's talk about the Bootymaster while Billy compares and contrasts.
Yeah, so I'd like to kind of score.
Can we do it for return as well, please, Billy?
That was return.
Okay. Right, cool. Cheers, thanks.
So I'd like to kind of scroll through social media and see what's tickling people's tail feathers, as it were. And one thing which seemed to crop up from the US side of Twitter was this whole gag kind of going through the timeline of a product, a specific product aimed at men, it seemed to infuriate and worry a lot of the female contingent online, because this product was so high end, so realistic. Some women felt like their jobs were at risk. Their very jobs as a gender were at threat. Now this product, yeah, I don't know if this is the actual name of the product, but it kind of took on this form on social media. It was dubbed the Bootymaster 3000. And I love that name. The reason why I love that name, because there's something automatically futuristic about 3000. It's like, it's a year we're nowhere near. It has to be so high end, so kind of forward thinking, future gazing, as it were. That has to be revolutionary. And this Bootymaster 3000, which is in essence, it is a dildo. Yeah.
It's a plastic vagina.
Designated for them. No! It is the booty. It is a silicone booty, yeah, designated for home use and stress relief for
yes.
men.
Yes.
And it is portable, yeah. Billy's laughing. It is portable.
The cell is strong, isn't it?
Yeah,
the cell is strong.
It is portable. Depending on what size booty you get, of course, maybe if you get the Booty Master 1500, it might be a little bit smaller. But the Booty Master 3000 is considered portable, and it's kicking up a storm, man.
Mm.
I think it might be the purchase for Christmas.
Well, I've always said that men are underserved when it comes to sexual. Like realistic asses and that.
Yeah.
Realistic asses? No, sorry. I'm just saying what I'm Googling at the same time because I'm trying to find it. But I always feel that men are underserved. Yeah. So now that there's something that's come out for the big booty enjoying man, I feel slightly happy. I mean, I've found a few of them online now, Funk. And you know, I think if a man really wants to have a big ass booty, is it this one that I'm looking at? It's called a Sex Flesh.
Yeah.
Something like this? Okay, the one that we found is called Sex Flesh. I'm not going to promise that we'll give you a link to this in the show description. But I mean, why were guys going crazy online about this big booty?
I think the level of realism, I think this is the point where the formula was right.
What was real? Is it a video where he's smacking it and wobbling it?
Yeah. It the wobbles, noise, it the moves.
Okay.
The realism in the skin. I think
pause?
Did it have pause?
Yeah. Is that how real it was? Did it have pause?
Pause and play.
And what were women saying about this online? Well, what was the general consensus? What were they saying?
And this is the thing, because you've obviously pointed out that men in this side of the market seem to be underserved. Underrepresented.
Yeah.
Which is quite strange considering how much people go on about the porn industry and the sex industry being geared towards men. In the sex toy industry, it is pretty much overwhelmingly products designed for women. Mm-hmm. This one product here caused such a division in the sexes online because women were like, that's not the real thing. You're always going to need the real thing.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, right.
What they didn't understand is that the simplicity of the Booty Master 3000 in the sense of there was no courting which needs to be incorporated into kind of using it. There is no kind of dinner and dates which need to be had. There's no batteries that are needed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no down the line there's no risk of kids. And there's less, unless I stand corrected, there's no way you can get any STDs from plastic either.
Hey.
Yeah, so it's quite safe on that level. So the odds are stacked against the kind of the real women of the world in terms of this product because the simplicity and ease is the pulling factor.
The pull-out factor.
The withdrawal factor.
The put-in factor. So you're saying basically that these real ass booties are causing a storm and you feel like their backlash, maybe, I'm reading to what you're saying, may have been a knee-jerk, fearful reaction from many women on your Twitter feed specifically, not all women in particular, because you thought that booty was so spectacular and round and jellalicious, and when it slapped it, it made all the right noises and wibbled and wobbled. You just wanted to surf over the wave of ripple that went over that cheek. That this had people scared. Like, they could lose their man over this plastic booty. Like, if the choice was caught me and it cost you like £200-300 for a courting from, you know, for a few dates and maybe we get a bit nookie together compared to a thirsty man who just wants to get straight into it and can maybe get this Booty Master 3000 for £300.
Mm.
He's going to go for the latter choice because it's less work.
I shit you not, man. I thought there was going to be a female march similar to what we saw after Trump was elected in. Like, on those levels.
What was the worst thing you heard about the Booty Master?
The worst? I didn't hear any negative opinions from men. They were all from women. And it was basically just the politics of fear. Women saying that if your friend uses it, you're going to catch something. Why are you're double dipping in the Booty Master? Because if you and your friend share the Booty Master. Silly things. Men would never do that. A man would buy his own Booty Master and his friend would buy his own Booty Master 3000. Now, all this is just propaganda to get the women to secure their place in their relationships. But what they don't understand is that the booty master will now threaten their very existence. There is no need for negotiations now in the bedroom. There is no need to sleep on the couch. If we are sleeping on the couch, the Booty Master 3000 will join us and we will wake in the morning with a smile on our face. This is a leap in the direction for the emancipation of men in relationships. I've been waiting for this for a very long time. You can hear the emotion in my voice. For too long have men, not just here, across the world, have we been held hostage. Hostage in the relationship.
Yep, I told you. I've never heard him get so emotional about anything else. We're still yet to have a Booty Master 3000 arrive at the How to Kill an Hour offices. Send one to us. I'm sure fuck would love it. Anyway, Nick Bright was on the show with us, episode 163, and we were reading the story behind an amazing escape room we did called Time Runners. And Nick showed off to us how great a voiceover artist he is.
Gather what you need to bind her once again, or risk the end of the world as we know it.
That was such a rubbish way to do it. Like, all right, I'll do it again.
A rogue goddess, once in prison, has broken free of the celestial chain. Gather what you need to bind her once again, or risk the end of the world.
You sound a bit too happy. You need to be like, a rogue goddess, once imprisoned, is broken free of the celestial chain. Gather what you need to bind her once again, or risk the end of the world.
All right, Nick.
As we know it.
Right, there's one thing missing from this, right? Are you ready to go again?
Sorry, hang on. Hurts my voice a bit, you know. This is what makes me money.
All right.
Dickhead. It is.
It's true. All right.
A rogue goddess, once imprisoned, has broken free of the celestial chain. Gather what you need to bind her once again, or risk the end of the world as we know it. Bosh, there you go.
I like that.
They can have that for free as well, you know, just because I'm a nice guy.
No charge from Nick.
Yeah.
So we basically,
it's Natalie at wisebuddha.com if you want to book me for voiceovers.
Sorry,
and stuff
what,
as well.
Was yeah. Your mic was crackling and breaking up. I didn't hear that.
Natalie at wisebuddha. Yeah.
It's breaking up a little bit.
Everything's an advert, man.
There you go. If you ever need a good voiceover, give that boy Nick Bright a shout there. Yeah, Natalie at Wise Buddha, apparently. So episode 209, we were discussing a flick button, which is a button that you can make smart to do loads of things across your house. But then we started speaking about other smart things as well. And something that caused a little bit of a stir was a concept store from Amazon, which potentially could have changed the way that we shop. It's a good idea, but maybe its practical application isn't quite there. Now, there's another example of a great idea not really doing what it needs to do, Nick.
Right, okay.
And that is the Amazon shop. Now, the Amazon shop, Amazon Go situation was, I don't know if you saw the info video where people would just walk around the store, put stuff in their pockets, walk out and get charged. Great idea, yeah?
And I was thinking, this is going to get exploited. People are going to thieve from this place.
You can almost do it at the Apple Store at the moment. You can go in, scan some shit with your Apple Store app, and if you're logged in, pay for it with the app and walk out.
People must be nicking from that as well.
I don't know. I walk in, do it, put it in my bag and walk out, and no one looks at me.
That's what I'm saying.
But surely somebody across the store must go, "Hey, you fucking, hey."
Because if you, for example, in the Apple Store, right, say you could pretend you're scanning it, do all the fucking shit, do you know what I mean? Look like you're doing it, but then just don't put your details in and then just roll. Yeah. I'm like, I thought that from time ago. I was like, people are definitely nicking from the Apple shop.
Maybe. Definitely. I don't know. I'd like to know. But there's been a report in Seattle for Amazon's Go store, and it's claiming that Amazon Go is encountering some pretty big technical issues. It starts to get confused when there's more than 20 people in the shop.
Oh, good.
So when there's more than 20 people in the shop at the same time, it starts having difficulty keeping on tabs on if an item has been removed from a specific place on the shelf. So it works flawlessly when there's like 5 people in the shop and when they move slowly. But if people basically roll in...
When it's lunchtime.
At lunchtime, roll in, grab sandwiches, like grab a cheese and onion sandwich and put it back on the shelf where the chicken and mayonnaise ones are, it starts to get
fucking
confused.
I knew shit like that was going to happen because, you know, sometimes when you go to the shop, you pick something up and you're like, you change your mind halfway around the shop and then you just dump it wherever you are.
Yeah.
Even, you know, when you go supermarket, yeah, and you see someone's dumped something that's meant to be in the fridge and it's not even in the fridge.
That's
I'm like,
dread.
That is fucking raggo.
That's
you
so
lot are
cold.
Just fucking disgusting animals, mate. Yeah. But like,
I'm the kind of guy that will leave a can of beans in a bread aisle, though. I don't mind that.
Because
fixable, isn't
that's it? That's fine. Then the person that works in the shop would just move it. But like, when you put like, I've seen people that have left like stuff that's meant to be in a freezer. Like you know, frozen fucking fish or something. And they just leave it by the till. The self-service till, they leave it by the fucking thing. I'm like, you lot are the worst.
Libs.
Yeah, you
Liberties.
Guys are taking the piss. But like, yeah, sometimes you change your mind, don't it? When you're walking around a shop, you might have something in the basket. Because let's be real, as a dude, we only ever get baskets.
Yeah.
Like, even if it it's like, you need free baskets, you'd rather get free baskets than a trolley.
Listen,
so weird.
I don't go gym. I go shop. I do my weekly shopping with a basket. That's
crazy.
What I do. Yeah.
I start like piling it up and it's like I start getting things to make the basket higher.
Yeah.
So like you'd stick something down the side, like a high product.
Yeah. A ham.
Yeah.
A ham packet is a good packet to build structure.
That's what I'm saying.
Build structure.
But yeah, so basically back to the point, essentially, yeah, it's a good idea, but I feel like, firstly, I feel like, why are you doing it? Like, I don't feel like it needs to be done.
Right.
They just want to be the first people to do it. Oh, look at us. We've done this fucking shop that nobody works in. Great. You're putting people out of work. Like, you don't need to do it. Shops are working cool the way they're working. Like,
right.
You know. And secondly, just, there's too many dishonest people in the world. People will work out a way of hacking it.
Yeah,
moving something and then putting it back, confusing the ting and fucking, you know, just rolling out with loads of shit that they ain't paid for.
There might have been a couple of times I used a self-service till and let's just say I've done it legit, but maybe when I've walked out there and checked my receipt, I might be a little bit liar. I might have only taken, two bags instead of one.
The bagging thing is a joke. It's like nobody pays for bags on the self-service till. But like the thing with self-service tills is sometimes they're like really accurate. And then other times they're not, like, because they do it on the weight, innit? You scan an item and then you put it on the thing and then it, like, can tell if it's there. But then I always think to myself, what about, like, pastries and shit? And, like, you know, like, things that might vary in weight quite a lot. I'm like, this ain't accurate. Sometimes
like
I try a thing.
Yeah, like, sometimes you try to. I mean, sometimes the person working there just comes along and goes, boop, whatever, let me just get the machine rolling again. You know, if they're having a busy day, they've always got one person who's minding the 20 tills. And they'll just come over and scan their little code when it's like, excuse me, you have put 15 kilograms of extra product on the shelf. Please take it off. And they just come along and go, boop. Yeah, carry on, mate.
Unexpected item in bagging area.
Please replace item in bagging area.
Please remove this item immediately.
So could you make this Amazon thing work, Nick? Well, what do we need to make it work? Like an idealistic society where nobody steals, which is impossible?
Yes. That would be good because, like I said, people are always looking to get something for nothing. We've just given you a classic example. Plastic bags in the UK now, we have to pay to have a plastic bag. You can't just have them for nothing. I don't know what it's like in other countries around the world, but in the UK, if you buy some stuff and you want a bag, 5p. We ain't paying a 5p on the self-service till.
Yeah.
If it's not self-service till... Basically, if there's a way that you can get out of the shop without a plastic bag, you will do it. So I've seen people balancing shit on their heads and fucking all sorts of shit. But if you're on a self-service till and there's no one around, you're taking a bag anyway and you're not paying for it.
Mm.
That's just the way it works. Exactly. So if somebody is going through a tough time and they don't have that much money and they stroll into the Amazon unmanned supermarket, they're going to try and take the piss. Like, how does it work, right? If you go in there and you take something off the shelf, you know, like some people are raggo in supermarkets and they eat it when they're walking around.
Yeah.
How does that work?
I just scan it when I get to the thing and just say, look, mate,
yeah, people do that. They scan the empty packet.
You mean people that just suck the food and put the wrapper on the side?
Yeah. Some people eat the food and then just put it on the side.
Oh.
So what I'm saying is in Amazon, if you go in there and you just... chomp while you walk and then you just when you leave, you've only got like a packet of chewing gum in your pocket.
Yeah.
Surely you're getting away with just having a packet of chewing gum.
Maybe they have to weigh us on the way in and way out.
Ooh.
Or they put micro nanotechnology with barcodes in it. So when you eat the food, they can trace the food.
Wow, until it comes out.
And then they just trace the shit.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'd feel about somebody digging through my poo-poo, if I'm honest. Not something I ever really want to know someone has done. That's weird. Weird type of violation. Anyway, in episode 210, we spoke about the retro sort of hype that took over the world in 2017, and also dug into social media as well. You know, we're in the world where retro is king at the moment. Retro's doing its thing. Like we've seen in our lives, we've seen 3 or 4 Spider-Man.
Yeah.
How many Spider-Mans have we seen in the movie world?
It's so stupid, man, the Spider-Man thing.
How many reboots have we seen?
I think 3.
3?
Yeah. I'm not a fan of all of that, man, because it's like, oh, Peter Parker. Yeah, that's what he looks like, and you build a picture of him in your mind, yeah. And then you stumble across the Amazing Spider-Man movie on TV or whatever, and it's like, hang on, that ain't Peter Parker. Yeah. Like, I don't like all that.
Yeah, too many reboots.
Too many reboots.
I think everyone, things that are very popular online, like Throwback Thursday, I feel like, oh, yeah, it was really good then.
I put a picture up on my Instagram today, in fact, a Throwback Thursday.
What was your TBT?
My TBT today was, I'll show you, the listeners obviously can't see this, but my TBT today is that. It's a picture of me when I was a child, riding around on this little, I don't even know what you call those things.
Tricycle?
Yeah, but it's not. It's got 4 wheels. But
you had a 4-wheeler.
It's like,
you were balling back then. You had 4-wheel tricycle.
And it had a face on the front.
Wow. My tricycle had 2 wheels and I had to lean to one side. One of the back wheels were missing just to keep it going.
Obviously, man had to caption it with Whipping Excursion.
Whipping Excursion.
Get me.
But everyone does love the retro, though. I feel like, even for us now, I'm like, music was way better back in my day, you know, old school garage.
Yeah, yeah. Well, on the way here, I was listening to my classic playlist, and it's like, you know, Ja Rule and shit like that.
Yeah.
It's like, it's mad because a lot of people that go to clubs now, I'm sure they won't even know what those tunes are, like 18-year-olds who are out clubbing now.
Do you know what's mad is how some songs stand the test of time and people don't remember the context that they came out in, but they're just good songs anyway.
It's weird, isn't it? It's weird.
Like, Nelly, I think he just got like his 10th platinum like disc for selling, going platinum 10 times on that Country Grammar album that he dropped.
Like, you can still play, not all, because it depends where you're playing in the country, but you can still play in certain places like Hot In Here.
Yeah.
And people are like, yeah, I know this. Or tell you what's a big one, in the regional gigs that still goes down, Drop It Like It's Hot.
Yeah.
From Snoop. And it's like, how old is that?
Yeah.
Like, there's people in there that clearly were literally toddlers when this tune came out.
Yeah, man.
But they still get down to it.
Yeah. Fat Man Scoop, Be Faithful. Yeah. You drop that in a club,
people love it.
Smash it. Hands up.
Yeah.
You hear me? Does its job. So it's, I don't know whether is that a human thing where things were always better back in our day? Because when we remember stuff, this is a scientific fact I'm going to give you. This is non-bullshit. Apparently, every time you remember something, you take the memory out. And when you're in the process of remembering it, you tweak it a little bit and then put it back. So if you remember a good time, every time you think of that good time, whether you like it or not, your brain changes it a little bit. So does it get a bit sweeter every time you remember the first time you heard that song? Like, maybe the first time you heard that song, you're like, oh, yeah, that's a really good song in the club. And then now you're a little bit old, you're like, nah, when that came on, fucking hell, yeah, the whole club flipped. Oh, mate.
It was a banger.
I tell you, yeah, everyone was dancing. Oh, security had a great time. There was no trouble.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense because that's why people always reminisce about the good times in their lives or their era was always so much better.
Mm.
Like, because their era was so long ago or whatever, they've tweaked the memories over a a period of 10, 20, 30 years.
Mm.
Do you know, like, when you talk to your older relatives, it's like when they were young, it was like the shit.
Yeah.
Everything was like the shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like, actually, everything is better now because, you know, you can fucking find stuff out on your phone within 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Whereas back in the day, it's like if anyone wanted to find something out, they had to go library.
Yeah, it was more like everything is shit.
Yeah.
Instead of the shit.
It's crazy, isn't it, when you think about it? Because even when I was at uni, it's like, the internet was obviously around when I was at uni, but it was like, it wasn't as developed as it is now. And I'm thinking, I'm not even that old. Like, Wikipedia was around, but at uni, Wikipedia is not a, it's not a credible source that you're allowed to use. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, we still had to go to the library quite a lot. And it's like, fucking hell. I wonder if uni students go to the library now other than to just jam in there.
I think it's still a quiet study space.
That's what I mean. But, like,
yeah.
Do they go there and look at books?
I had to. I reckon unless you make people do it for studying, internet.
That's
what
I'm saying.
Straight internet or download the ebook and let's go. But with that being said, there are still things that I feel were good retro things to throw back. Like, I think sweets were really good back in the day when you could get penny sweets in the UK, 100 sweets for a pound. That now would still, I'd still enjoy getting 100 sweets for a pound.
Do you know why they were better though back in the day? And this is like, this when it comes to food stuff, it's because of the all the things that are banned now.
Right.
You know. Remember, there was a big. I don't know if you remember this. If you're in the UK and you're around a similar age to me and Marcus, you might remember. But if you're global, you won't have a clue. But a little while back, Smarties. There was a big hoo ha with the candy, the chocolate Smarties, because the blue ones, they used to be like really blue, really like in colour, and they would stain your mouth. Like when you ate them, you'd have like blue teeth and
standard.
Shit. Like. And then they banned the colouring in the blue Smarties, and now the Smarties ain't as blue. They're like a dull blue.
So now it looks like somebody sucked your Smarties.
Yeah, basically. That's it.
That's not the one. Yeah. I'm not down with that at all. I don't want no half-sucked Smarties.
No.
And but this is one that you'd remember international, Sunny Delight.
Yeah.
There was a big hoo-ha over that because kids were drinking so much that sunlight, they were turning orange.
They were turning orange and then coming home from school fucking hyperactive as shit.
Yeah. But I mean... I think sweets back in the day, though, I liked stuff. I think, and that is something that even to this day, sweets nowadays, like that sort of stuff, like I want a bit of colouring in my fucking Smarties. I want 100 sweets for a pound. What's a retro thing that you think you're not just twisting and making feel better?
Something that I really miss from when I was younger is, and you could still do this now, but less and less people are taking the option to do it. Because of the way technology has moved on, is playing a two-player video game with your brethren sitting next to you. Like, you can still do it, but less and less people are doing it because you can do it all online now.
Yeah, man.
Like, I miss, like, playing Mario Kart or whatever with your friend next to you and just, like, doing shit to put them off when they're playing. Yeah. Like, just, like, I miss that. Now it's just, like, all headsets. Like, people sitting in their bedrooms alone.
Mm.
And like, although you're still chatting to your friends, it's not the same.
Nah.
It's not the same. I read this thing somewhere saying that it was quite recently, more and more people are suffering from depression through loneliness in the social media era, which is hilarious because we've never been more social in terms of like engaging with our friends and different people every single day.
Mm.
But engaging with somebody on social media is not the same as seeing somebody. It's as simple as that.
100%.
You get different... Like, I'm not a scientist, right? But I guarantee you, if you spoke to a scientist, they would tell you get different chemicals released into your brain releases different chemicals and shit when you see someone, visual stimulation in comparison to, you know, talking on the phone or talking on text or talking, you know, through commenting on their picture on Instagram. Seeing someone's totally different.
Some very interesting points there about the way social media affects us as people. Interesting corner of the internet, social media, isn't it? Another thing that's great about the internet, though, is that it is an archive for things that some people wish would disappear after they did them. You know, like, you know, I think some artists can do some creative projects or put things out there that they might regret in the future. And Funk Butcher made me aware of something that I didn't even know existed. And thanks to the power of good old YouTube, we managed to dig up this old advert featuring Mary J. Blige. No way.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken
snack wraps? What's in the new chicken wraps?
Get ready for this.
Mary.
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses, fresh dressing wrapped up in
Yeah. This is one of the low points of Mary J. Blige's career.
Crispy chicken, wrapped up in a
snack wraps. Come and get it at Burger King.
Double tortilla.
One more. So, I don't know. I think that we got to end the show on this. It's only a way to kill some time out of here. Let's have Mary J. Blige singing about crispy chicken in Burger King. Let that sink
Exciting
in.
Exciting things are happening at Burger King.
Welcome to Burger King.
What's in those new chicken snack wraps?
What's in the new chicken
wraps?
What's in the new chicken wraps?
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce, three cheeses.
Wait, the 808's all right, though.
That's what that's a drumstick getting hit against the bun.
The new chicken snack. Come and get it at Burger King.
I don't know how I missed that advert. Maybe I had seen it and I just had to delete the memory of it from my mind because I don't know. It was atrocious, wasn't it? Anyway, we sometimes use the platform that is How to Kill an Hour to get certain irks off our chest. And the following clip is from episode 216. Gripe about Junkyard Golf.
Which is?
And it was in the food department. I got to say, they got this nice beer in there called Korev. Delicious. Mm. Hot dog, delicious. Nachos, delicious, but...
The price.
It wasn't the price, bruv. The price was delicious.
Okay.
And this isn't just with Junkyard Golf, it's with everyone. And this might just be my own personal gripe. Why is there never enough cheese on my nachos?
Oh my God.
There's never enough cheese on my nachos.
So you take issue with the portions there?
The portion was good for the nachos and the chilies and stuff. But just, the portion of cheese. I'm never happy with the portion of cheese. And it's not just Junkyard Golf. It's worldwide. This is a worldwide issue that we need to deal with. Because a man can't enjoy a dry nacho.
Yeah.
A man can't have a nacho stuck to the top of his mouth with no cheese to break that away. A man can't maintain a good day's work knowing that he's got dry nachos floating around in his belly. A nacho must have sufficient cheese. Must have sufficient chili.
Have no fear, Brother Marcus. Towards the end of the show, I'm sure Billy will draft up a letter to the United Nations.
I mean...
Get this problem resolved.
And it's not a hard fix. What we need to do is we need to start layering. Layering is the key, everybody. Yeah? Now, the layering is very simple. You start with a bed of cheese. You put some nachos on, then you put some more cheese on. And you put some nachos on, you put some more... Let's start caring for our nachos. Yeah,
maybe the head of Junkyard Golf is lactose intolerant and the cheese quantities are adequate enough for his sensitive stomach.
Maybe we just have some sort of regular... Maybe there's a regulation for nachos and cheese that I'm not aware of where it's like one scoop.
Yeah.
You only have one scoop. But I don't know. I don't feel like I don't want to feel like I have to nag for more cheese.
Maybe
I don't want to be that guy that asks for more cheese. So I sit there and I suffer in silence.
Fine. I think this is the Brexit effect. The cows aren't here. The cows are in Brussels and they're refusing to produce more cheese for us. So this is the quantities we've got now.
Nah.
This is it. In 2 years' time, we're finally out and Article 50 is all done.
What? Will we have no cheese?
No cheese. Your nachos will just be crisps.
I don't know if I could live like that, bruv. Dry nacho.
Hot crisps. That's what it is.
Now, what's next? No butter on toast. What's next? Frying eggs in water. What's next for us?
Egg McMuffin with no egg.
It's like if you came to my house and I made you a sandwich, but all of the filling was in one side of the sandwich and the other side was bread. How would you feel about that? Or you went to Subway and you ordered a foot long and only filling was in one half of the foot long and the other side of the foot long was bread. How would that make you feel inside? Angry and upset, right?
And hungry.
But yeah, other than that, Junkyard Golf was good. Brilliant. The nachos that were cheesy were quite nice.
Brilliant.
So check that out. Okay, I got to be honest. Relatively trivial that. But I'll tell you what wasn't trivial. In episode 238, we discussed how the NHS had been hacked. That's right. One of the largest employers of people in the world. I think it's like the fifth or sixth largest employer of people was hacked this year. What a story it was. And this clip is from episode 238.
The NHS hack that we spoke about last week has been resolved.
Mm-hmm.
You probably have heard about this NHS hack, but in terms of it being resolved, it's been fixed, but the story behind it's quite interesting.
Mm.
It was a guy who has one of the most handsomest names ever known to mankind. I mean, people like that, people with a name like his, I just want to buy him a drink. His name's Marcus Hutchins, and he's the guy behind solving this hack. Firstly, Funk, do you want to set up what exactly happened with the NHS hack again, as well as a quick recap on what happened last week?
So the National Health Service, the NHS, which is a publicly funded section of the healthcare, provides free, well, not free, subsidized healthcare for...
good point.
Yeah,
good point.
Yeah, it's not free. It's paid for somehow. And through our taxes.
Yeah.
But it is literally kind of the... It was set up after the war by a guy called Nye Bevin, and it was basically just a way to look after people from the cradle to the grave. That was the slogan. And over the years, it started to cost a lot of money because there's so much people involved in it. And this system now, which is this NHS system, which is kind of heavily uses a lot of computers and whatnot, got hacked with a ransomware software. And it wasn't even the main target. This ransomware software infiltrated 1 in 5 trusts. And yeah, it was basically like, give me your money.
And basically, it came around because the NHS forgot to update their computer system.
Yeah, and it was just like complete ineptitude on an unprecedented level. Like, really? Yeah. Around that time when they had to update the patch, the software, they would have been notified, hey, you've got this much time till this is going to close, or that much time. An organization as huge as the NHS would have definitely had the notifications, but whether they were they switched off the noise on the notifications, whether they were too busy playing solitaire or whatever it was, they ignored it. And the XP support ended in 2016, and this hack dropped was it 2 weeks ago?
Amateur mistake.
Yeah.
That's amateur.
So,
man,
you've had that whole window of time.
Amateur.
This guy was probably breakdancing, doing body pops. Am I going to hit it now? No, not yet. I'm going to wait till my birthday.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Cancun first. When I go Cancun, I'm going to come back, then I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. He had the whole leisurely time to kind of execute this.
Yeah.
Because the NHS was unprepared. The fifth largest employer, public
of people in the world.
Yeah. And they were unprepared like that, got caught with their pants down.
Who do we think is the first biggest public employer? Do we know? Charlotte. The world's biggest.
I'm guessing, no, maybe not. I would have said somewhere like China.
I want to guess first, but my guess is going to be rubbish. I was thinking it's going to be like a McDonald's or something like that. Oh, it's the United States Department of Defense.
Yeah.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
Actually,
you said McDonald's. McDonald's.
Same thing, innit? Terrorist. Marcus solved it. 22-year-old Marcus Hutchins, self-taught computer whiz who works in cybersecurity. He basically found some lines in the code that had a domain name in it, bought the domain, and shut the shit down.
Really?
He bought the domain, and the domain was a kill switch for it. And apparently they gave him the week off work.
Oh, man.
Check it. He was already on holiday.
Yeah.
And apparently his reward was a week off work.
So does he work for the NHS?
No, I don't think he works for the NHS. No, he works for a cybersecurity firm.
Oh, okay.
Or in cybersecurity for himself. But like...
And that was his bonus.
Yeah. Oh, well done, mate. You saved the world. Take a week off. No wonder superheroes go evil.
That's the whole storyline of Injustice too.
Yeah.
Why they just go rogue.
Yeah.
Because they're unappreciated.
Yeah. Is that it? Get out. But how's this for an idea, Funk, though? You call me paranoid.
Yeah.
Before we wrap today's show, but do you not think that it's a little bit of a neat and tidy ending to a weird story? Like, the NHS is hacked.
Yeah.
Then just some 22-year-old guy just comes along and fixes it out. And it seems a bit clean for me, you know. I feel like if I was trying to prep the NHS for sale and say, look, it's not really fit by the people that are running it now, I would crash the bitch, yeah, like now. And then just so nobody came for me because I hacked it, I'd get some 22-year-old to resolve it quickly out of nowhere. Some computer whiz who accidentally found a piece of code in it and turned it off. Don't you think that's a little bit...
Yeah.
Call me paranoid.
I mean, I completely agree. This is clean yet messy. This was controlled anarchy. So someone did this to make someone look like a donut.
Yeah.
and it worked.
Yeah, well, the NHS looks like they need some Norton antivirus. If I was the head of Norton antivirus right now, yeah. I'd be on their phone like, hey, what you need?
Yeah.
I gotcha.
But what also, but I mean, before we wrap up this episode, but what also got exposed in the week of the hack was a company called DeepMind. Did you hear about that?
No.
So basically, DeepMind is a company run by Google.
Yeah.
And what has been happening is that they have access to the files and documents of every single member in the NHS, yet no one has sanctioned that. So they're selling details to a private company.
That is crazy data. So they've been caught out.
Yeah. So this kind of came out as well. Once this hack came out and all this other stuff started unraveling, basically DeepMind are the company behind the health apps on our phone where we enter it in and doctors are kind of, doctors swear by it. They say that it helps them kind of monitor patients a lot more effectively, but the patients themselves aren't aware that their details are being held by Google and their kind of offshoot company called DeepMind.
DeepMind.
I love the name though.
DeepMind. Yeah, sick, man. That's sick. Rah!
Can I just say it again?
DeepMind. But I want to look into that. I want to look into that more. But Bitcoin is like the popular ransomware currency at the moment.
Yeah.
Basically, Bitcoin's digital money.
I hate that.
Bitcoin. Why? Yeah.
It's not like DeepMind. I like DeepMind. There's something movie about Bitcoin. Is just like.
It sounds cheap, innit?
Yeah, Bitcoin.
Yeah. Give me that moolah, that money. That do you take Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Bitcoin. Excuse me. You take Bitcoin. It doesn't exist in the physical world, though, really. So it's like there are only 21 million Bitcoins that exist. But this doesn't mean that once they're all once they have all gone, there's no more. Bitcoins can be split into smaller units, and there are 1 million bits in each Bitcoin. That's why they're called Bitcoins.
Okay.
The price of them is going up. I don't know. Like it goes up all the time. Like, how? Do you reckon I can get an exchange rate for a Bitcoin?
I thought that their valuation is...
They're decentralized.
It fluctuates.
One Bitcoin equals 1,662 pounds, 21 pence.
How much?
1,662 pounds, 21 pence in pounds. Wow.
Uh-huh.
We are in the wrong business. US dollars. Let me do it in US dollar. $2,166 for one Bitcoin. Jesus. The price is generally going up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's decentralized. Do you think that banks, they must hate us for that though, innit? They must hate Bitcoin because they can't get in there and mess with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. So do you think...
They'll find a way though.
Is that...
I'm sure the IMF will find some way to kind of tie that into...
Do you think we'll all be using Bitcoin soon? Do you think we'll be that kind of... Do you think you'll ever swap over to it? I mean, currency is currency, isn't it?
Yeah.
Would you be comfortable with a non-centralized banking system?
I think Bitcoin is just outside of our pay grade. I think there will be people using Bitcoin, but not us regular poll folk.
You know, like in John Wick, when it's like one coin for a killing.
Yeah.
They get that one coin. That's what they get paid in Bitcoins. That's what they are. That's the physical representation of a Bitcoin. It's actually a USB drive. They unplug it and plug it into their computer. So like one coin... Do you think like super rich folk then they use it to make their deals?
I think
like
so.
I'll buy that boat for 100 Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Crazy.
More like 10 Bitcoin with the way that the price of that cryptocurrency is going up. Now, anyway, in episode 243, our very own Fung Butcher ended up working alongside Jeremy Corbyn's team. Yeah, you didn't hear me wrong. The full explanation of the story is great, and that's why I'm about to play this clip for you.
So, that's about over a week ago now.
Yeah.
I was at home doing what I'm doing on my laptop, finishing up some music, some bits and pieces.
Finishing up
some... You thought I was going to say something else.
finishing off, as you do.
And I got a follow from the leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn. And I was just like, people just like, what? Yeah, so... Literally, the soon-to-be Prime Minister, Jeremy Corbyn, he followed me on Twitter, and I thought, okay, this might be some sort of glitch. So I didn't announce anything initially, and then kind of like half an hour passed, an hour passed, and I still hadn't been unfollowed. So I was like, hey, yeah, maybe I can just let my people know I'm in with the big leaguers here.
Yeah. So just so you know, Corbin wasn't just laughing at your trolling and accidentally clicked follow. You know, it was for real.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I kind of tweeted out that he's following me, and then I said thanks, followed him back.
I thought he was going to go booze and not. Followed him back?
Yeah, followed him back. Yeah, cool. Yeah. So I was down with the party.
All right.
And then I got a DM about an event.
Like, he slid in your DMs.
Slid in my DMs,
Jeremy,
man.
Slid into your DMs.
Yeah. Signed JC. I was like, what? So JC, as we call him, he's close friends.
I can't call him that. No, you can call him that.
You got to call him Mr. Corbyn, yeah? I call him JC.
Mr. Prime Minister.
Yeah, Mr. Apparently, Prime Minister.
Yeah.
So JC was... having an event to kind of congratulate all the creatives who'd kind of helped galvanize a youth vote and got them mobilized and more aware of the importance of June the 8th and how important it is to kind of their future. So they invited everyone down to Hackney, and there was a live event, and literally had the opportunity to kind of have a conversation with JC about the work I've been doing with and my thoughts on youth violence. But what I took away from it, more than the ability to kind of get my thoughts across, was the level of engagement of this guy is just unreal. It is not politician like at all.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you know when you used to watch WWE and then the Rock used to come out, and then someone had the kind of the banner up saying the people's champ. This is what this guy is. Yeah, he's not like a big 6'4" Samoan kind of wrestler, but he is the people's champ. His time and dedication and genuine level of engagement. I mean, I was talking to him at the gathering, and his kind of closest advisor was trying to kind of hurry him off to his other pressing engagements, and he was just like, hold on, like, let this guy finish. This is the funk. No, he didn't say that, but he was just like, let this guy finish and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And he had to tell him several times. So I felt really infused by the fact that I really have this guy's ear. This isn't kind of a ploy. This isn't kind of one of those PR stunts where you kind of kiss the baby. He didn't kiss me, but this isn't anything like that. This was a real genuine man of the people, and I felt like I had to experience that firsthand to kind of shape my mind as to which way I vote. I mean, either way, personally, Theresa May's not going to get my vote, but I needed to feel whether the vote for Labour on the 8th is a worthwhile one, and generally speaking, this guy is the real deal. Real deal Corbs.
There you go. Because I'm very skeptical as to people's personals. I think everyone's got a face they show the camera.
Yeah.
And some of them don't. And I don't like hearing, I don't like reading about stuff online.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even like print media.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing it from the horse's mouth, from you, Funk, or should we say the self driving, no, the flying the Toyota car's mouth?
Yeah,
I feel like wow,
wow indeed. And that was our best bits for How to Kill an Hour of 2017. We'll be back next week with our first show, where we'll probably be creating content that we can use for next year's best bits, right? That's thinking well far ahead. Next week we'll be back in the studio, usual time. In How to Kill an Hour is the name of the show. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. I've been Marcus Bronzy. I want to give a massive thanks out to all of the presenters that have worked with us, all the guests that have worked with us this year. Producer Bill, obviously, as well, for grinding and also letting his Twitter get cross-examined. That was probably one of my favorite parts of the year, Billy Boy. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Don't forget, before we jet out, is that you can find links to all of the episodes that we have played clips for in the show description.
And don't forget to check out howtokillanhour.com, brand new website we've got up, full of great content, new ways to kill some time. Pretty much anything we talk about in the podcast, we will put articles up on howtokillanhour.com to check out. We're on Twitter, we are on Instagram, we are on Facebook, we are on Snapchat, you name it. Just Google us, actually. Put How to Kill an Hour into Google and you'll find us. Plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us through 2017 and into 2018 and beyond.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.